Good to be back with you. Certainly is good to see those of my brothers and sisters in our assembly this morning. And for those that are visiting, we certainly do appreciate that very much. There are several different programs on television. And I don't know how many of you have ever seen this show, but it's called Doomsday Preppers. It's actually, if you watch the show, you can start to understand some things about how people feel about certain things. But I want to use it in the context of how to survive a spiritual collapse. Now what this is about, it's about a group of people, and some of them seem a little odd to us in the way they act, but you know, they have their own thought process, and if you've ever, they actually have what they call prepper shows, as in shows you can go to and learn how to prepare for various types of catastrophic events. And so they argue that at some point civilization is going to end as we know it, and that they need to be prepared for that, and there will be some really bad times, and so they want to be prepared for that. Or maybe some of them believe that there's going to be an economic collapse throughout the world, and if they're not prepared for that, they won't be able to survive from day to day. And then maybe a societal collapse, or you've heard of this, electromagnetic pulse, which would shut off, believe it or not, all of our cell phones, computers, and all the electronics in our cars and so forth. And one day we would wake up and we would have nothing, because it literally would shut down everything that we have. And so these people are real concerned about that, and they want to prepare for it, and so they have. It's actually about survivalism, and that's a new word that's been made up. It's talking about surviving, and when we think about it, it's how to survive if something catastrophic happens, whether it's a natural disaster or a man-made disaster. Now, every one of us, to some degree, have had to prepare for various things. It may be that we lose our electricity, which is just awful, or we lose our water, or we lose something at our house, and we just cannot live without that because we never did live without it, except for some of us that used to live without it, and now we can't live without it. So, I don't know that as Christians we're particularly interested in how to physically survive a lot of these things, even though we would try to survive. But I think we need to understand some things about spiritual survival. How can we survive in the face of a spiritual collapse? When we look at what we're experiencing in the world today, I would argue that we are in the process of looking at a moral and spiritual collapse of what we believed in. It wouldn't take you very long to observe television recently to understand just how people look at things and who they depend on and who they think about. Some of this has been 24/7 for the last few days, and it's a belief in a human being, and it is really a problem when you think about how, even within that particular group, how things have changed and how some of the things that used to be wrong now are being accepted, and how indeed we look at these things and wow, it's like even all of these groups now are approving of things that we would never have dreamed that they would approve of. So how are we going to prep or prepare for the future and survival? Well, there's several things that they tell you you need to be prepared for. One of them is you need a certain amount of food and water. You need to store that up and you need to have it ready just in case. So spiritually, do we need food and water? In Isaiah 55, he talks about how important it is for the earth to be watered. And he talks about that, and then he compares it to how much more important it is for us to know the Word of God. What he says in Isaiah 55, starting with verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." So if I need to survive, what do I need? He said, well, for as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, physically it works. Spiritually, how does it work? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. If we understand what we need to survive spiritually, then what are we going to look for? We're going to look for that word. Jesus said that He was that spiritual food. He is the one that provides that. He made this argument in chapter 6 to those Jews in which He said they had discussed about manna from heaven in verse 28. He talks about these works He's supposed to do. And so He goes on down and they said, well, in verse 31, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. In verse 32, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He said, I am that bread. Then they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread also. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He believes in me shall never thirst. No, it's not in some other human being on this earth. It's in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one that came down out of heaven. He is the bread of life. He is the one we partake of. He would go on down in this and He talks about your fathers ate the manna in verse 49 in the wilderness and are dead. So what's the difference? Well, this is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. You can partake of me and not die. Which one do you want? If you're going to survive, which one are you going to feed on? Is it going to be those physical bread or the physical or the spiritual? But He also says He's the spiritual water in John 4. And talking to that Samaritan woman, He asked her to give Him something to drink, starting with verse 4 through verse 15 of that. And He says to her, if you, in verse 10, knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water. Jesus said, I have the ability to give you living water. Living water. Something keeps you alive, He says, eternally. Whoever drinks of this water, He says in verse 13, talking about that physical water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Do we have it stored up? Do we have this food and water stored? Are we ready? Are we ready for a spiritual collapse here? Are we ready? And would we stand? Would we stand on Jesus Christ? It needs to be stored. It has to be stored. It has to be a lot of it stored, not just a little bit. What if our written word were taken away? Would we still have the written word? In Hebrews 8, He talks about this new law. He quotes from Jeremiah 31, and He talks about this law, and He says this is what He had to say about this, and how that law was not going to be kept in place this whole time. It was a covenant that was going away. What about the new one? Well, He says in verse 10, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. Is God literally coming down and doing that? No, He's saying that if you really want to follow this, it's an entirely different type of a law. It is you. It is in you and it is you. So, have I got it stored up? Have I got it stored up? Even those things that are hard to digest. We studied this in, a little bit in our class downstairs this morning from 2 Peter 3, where Peter said that Paul wrote some things that are hard to be understood. That they that are unlearned and unstable twist as they do also their other scriptures of their own destruction. We have to be very careful how we store it. It can go bad. Do we want it to go bad? We've got to be careful. The other thing they say you need is shelter. Well, the psalmist said, I'll tell you where you can find your shelter. You want some spiritual shelter? It's not a physical place. In reality, it's God. In Psalm 61, 1 through 4, hear my prayer, O God. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Notice all those terms. A dwelling place, a shelter, a tent under the wings of God. But we have to be there to make sure we're sheltered from all this. David said that it would completely protect him. All he had to do was depend on God in the 143rd Psalm, verses 6 through 12. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from the enemies. In you I take shelter. Not in another person, not in another thing. Getting our shelter in the right place. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, in your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. It's available to all. God is there available to all if they'll just come to Him, if they'll depend on Him, if they'll obey Him. In Psalm 57, 1 through 3. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. It's personal. It's God that provides these things. It is in God that I seek shelter. And it's a shelter that was prepared by Jesus Christ, the branch. In Isaiah 4, in a discussion, in a prophecy concerning what was going to happen when all of this would be done away with. Their system of religion and their system of government and their system would be taken away. And he's talking about a new one that was coming. In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and he who remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the word of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering. He protects. That's the shelter. And there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and a shelter from storm and rain. All being prepared. Waiting, knowing that we have protection and it's found in the church. I just want to turn to Revelation 3:7. And just think of what we just read as we read this. As he talks to the saved that are a part of that church in Philadelphia. And he praises them for sticking to him. He says in verses 10 through 12, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Isn't that beautiful? It happened. And now, this group's being taken care of. Security. One of the things they recommend, and you watch this, they have all kinds of weaponry. They are so prepared. They're prepared to defend themselves in case someone comes and tries to take their security away from them. In case someone, or their shelter from them. Or in case someone comes along and tries to take their water from them. Or in case they need to go out and get some food. So they have all kinds of weaponry. It's kind of scary watching it sometimes. If you watched it, you wouldn't want to go near where some of these folks are. That's not the security we're looking for. Our security is in the kingdom. We have security in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have security in this kingdom. as he would tell Pilate in John 18, "My kingdom is not of this world." Verse 36. "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight?" And he goes on to say, and you know what? I'd win. If that was it. But that's not it. It's not about a physical battle. It's not about fighting off someone with some weapons of that type. As a matter of fact, he says in 2 Corinthians 10, "Let me tell you about the weapons. Let me tell you about them," Paul said. And I want to, he said, "I want to explain this to you. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, not being absent and bold toward you. Now I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." He said, "I've got it. I've got what I need to defend myself. I'm not concerned about what everyone has around me." And he said, "Now let me explain now what weapons I've got. Let me tell you about the security that I have. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Well, then I have no protection. No. He said, "But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." You think about that for a moment. I don't even pick up a gun, and yet through God, you can pull down a stronghold if you have that kind of faith. "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." That's powerful. We don't have a weapon like that on earth other than the one He's given us. We have the weapon. And that weapon is the right protection. It will not only go out and defend, it'll not only will go out and take care of things that way, it also keeps us from getting hurt. Isn't that amazing? He says in Ephesians 6, "I'll tell you what, you just put it on. The whole armor of God." What will this armor do? It'll completely protect you. You have security. You have all you'll ever need. Spiritual security, if you put it on and you keep it on. And this is what he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." That's who we wrestle against. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day when the doomsday comes." However evil it gets, you can stand. "And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And then it talks about praying as well. Think about it. The two most powerful weapons in the world we have. It'll completely protect us. The Word of God. And then we have prayer. What greater weapon is there on earth? None. None. We have the defense. We need to go to God's Word and be ready always in 1 Peter 3:15 to give a defense for everything we believe in. But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always, always to give a defense. Bring out a pistol and shoot someone? No. No. What's the defense? "To everyone who asks you for a reason, for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." Shame them. How? With the weapons that we have, that God has given us. And then the next thing they talk about, and the last thing we're going to talk about, they always talk about then an X factor. Those other things out there that you might need. Those things that maybe we just didn't mention before, but I'll tell you who our X factor is. It's not a thing. It's a who. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have someone who's provided everything for us. Just to mention a few things. He's our prophet. We sing that in a song that Glendon led this morning. And we talked about Him being our prophet, priest, and king. And in our prophet, in Acts 3, He would talk to them and He said, "Don't you remember what Moses said? The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall come to pass." There's a little bit of difference in this prophet, that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. I have Jesus Christ. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophet and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, "And in you, your seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed." To you first, God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you, talking to those Jews, and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. He's our high priest. In Hebrews 7, unlike the high priest of before, he says in Hebrews 7, this is totally changed. We have a high priest. We are prepared spiritually. We have someone who entered the veil ahead of us. Someone that took care of our sins. Someone that offered His sacrifice not for His own sins, but for the sins of everyone else. He wasn't like those high priests of old. He came from Judah, it says in this. So it shows that something else had changed. The law had changed. We have this high priest. It says in verse 22 of this that He is a surety, a guarantee of a better covenant. What about Him? Verse 24, He has an unchangeable priesthood. There is no one else out there that can take His place. There is no other leader. He is our high priest. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. How do you get there? You come to God through Him. Since He ever lives to make intercession for us. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for His own sins and then for the people's. For this He did once for all when He offered up Himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath which came through the law appoints a Son who has been perfected forever. No weaknesses. Not like the rest. Nothing in Him was weak. He's our King. In 1 Timothy 6, He's now King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the only one, it says in that verse, that is sovereign. The only potentate. The only sovereign one. He's our chief shepherd. He will lead us where we need to go, according to 1 Peter 5:1-4, and talking about the shepherds that would lead the local bodies that were under Him. That says then when our chief shepherd appears. In Titus 2, we find that even more so. He is our great God. In Titus 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." We're going to be prepared for anything. "Looking for the blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior," the rest of the verse, "Jesus Christ." We're looking for Him, He said, "who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us for every lawless deed, and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works." And you know what He said to Titus? "Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." So if He's our Savior, are we prepared? Have we understood the fact that He is our Savior? Just like in a physical catastrophic event, we need to be prepared spiritually. Are we prepared? Have you prepared your life? Have you looked at the One that is our food and water? Have you looked at the One that is our shelter? Have you looked at the One through whom we gain our security? Well, we need to. Because if we have that right spiritual food and water, the right shelter, and the right security, and the right spiritual X factor, we'll be prepared. We're spiritually prepped. We will be ready to go. I don't care what happens to us on this earth, we will defend, stand for, even until death, or unto death. So have you prepped for your spiritual doomsday. It is wise to be prepared. Prep today by eating of Jesus' flesh. That is, of what He brought. Through His sacrifice, through His Word, know what it takes and obey His words, which will save you. And this is what He said: He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And as a Christian, do you need to make some changes? Do you need to tweak those things to make sure you're ready for anything? If you do, and you need some help, we'll be glad to assist you in any way we can. Would you please stand?